And welcome to another edition of Zav Chat. And I think I nearly say it every week, but it's a really exciting episode today. And let's get straight into it. I only need to give one clue as we start. It's book week at Xavier College. Bill, Jared, welcome.
Yeah, thanks very much, Shane. Jared, a great week ahead, and obviously athletics tomorrow too. I might steal the thunder of around the grounds, but it's a full one.
Yes, that's right, Mr. Doherty. Big week this week, and as always, thanks for having us, and yep, should be a good episode.
It's great. Why don't we dive straight in?
I agree.
And we have our wonderful head of libraries and learning resources, Trish Chikala. Trish, welcome to ZavChat.
Thank you.
And you were a few other little special guests today, and there's one really significant guest that we're going to segue into in a little way. But Trish, let's start with you. This is Book Week.
Yep.
And we've got a series of wonderful literary initiatives. There's Literary Dinner on tomorrow night.
Yep.
And a Your Voice Take Flight program as well that we're doing with Loretto.
Yep.
So let's kick it in. Book Week. Tell us what's been happening.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot going on, so I'm really excited for Book Week, and I've been driving the senior boys insane by, I've got balloons in the Brennan Library. I'm constantly wishing everyone a happy Book Week, and because the thing at Xavier College is we do have a big reading culture. It's our collection now is so tiny and small, but it's like a bookshop, and that's what we're going for here at Xavier, because I know that a lot of boys do read. There's always this assumption that, you know, the reading's decreasing and boys don't like to read, but there actually are a lot of readers here particularly. And so that's what excites me, to bring in special guests and have programs and initiatives that sort of spark and inspire that desire to read.
And I can say, Tricia, you lead that so well. It literally bubbles out of you with your enthusiasm and your passion about how you are able to bring the words to life. And that's probably going to be a great theme as we go through today.
Yep.
But as you said, we do have we're putting an emphasis on reading because we think it is just so important, particularly in a modern age, an age filled with technology and social media and phones, but that ability to immerse yourself in story. And we'll get to another little guest in a second.
Yeah.
But is that a fair comment?
It is something that I'm really learning about at the moment, because I've just started to undertake my master's, which I'm actually exploring reading culture and what it looks like for not just boys but everybody and for all of us, because we're all connected to our devices and we need to take that time to have sustained reading, and with that assist in our academic pursuits as well.
And one of the things for me, like story and narrative is such a powerful dimension in the human spirit. And we're hardwired for connection as well, and connection is going to come loud and clear.
Absolutely.
through today. But Jared, over to you.
Certainly. So we'll this year, I think in particular, at the college, we've had a big sort of focus on debating and, you know, being informed and asking those questions. So maybe one for you again, Ms. Tricala. A lot of boys might not think that reading is necessarily a very worthwhile activity, but how do you think it you know, sort of nourishes us in all the areas of our lives, not just in English or in our studies and that sort of thing?
What it seems from my understanding is that the ability to stop, that we need to make that time to actually stop and have sustained periods. And that's what we do at Xavier College. We have an initiative called Read 15. So right, I think, from kinder is where the messaging needs to happen. And when I went to the junior campus on Monday and there were so many parents at the Book Week parade, and my messaging was, we need to model, all of us, staff and parents, modelling what it looks like to actually read in front of our children, our students. So I think that's something, if we can model that and lead by example, we'll see a big shift in reading culture.
And so when you do stop, and you take it in, you're then inclined to have a conversation.
Absolutely.
And I just wanted to bring in a little guest that we've got along, Wilbur Quinn. Now, Wilbur, not a stranger to Zav Chat, but there's a lovely story here where you engaged in just a wonderful conversation with Mr. Carla just about what you were reading. So maybe just take us through a little bit of that and tell us a little bit about what you were reading and what stimulated the conversation.
Yeah, so thank you for having me, first of all, Mr. Doherty and Shane and Jared. It's a pleasure to be here. So on Monday night, I was just doing my usual studies in the library and having a conversation with someone else about what I'd just finished reading, a great book called Tuesdays with Maury by Mitchell Bohm. And Mr. Carla, as per usual, just quietly popped her head out of the office saying, "What an awesome book." And yeah, that sort of sparked a conversation about reading and what reading looks like in our current community and culture. And yeah, we got to talking about different types of books and how we can build empathy through reading.
Yeah.
And how we can use reading as almost sort of a way of life and as a toolkit to sort of build upon values, principles to live by. And I know that's very strong in what our special guest has touched on today, Alex Noble. So I actually didn't meet Alex, but I was at the Riverview v Joey's GPS rugby game on the weekend, which is that big, almost Xavier v Skev's rugby match. yeah, attracts tens of thousands of people. And yeah, it was just, the purpose of the trip was to see what proud, passionate and more so respectful support looks like and how we can sort of infuse that into our culture at Xavier and the Red and Black Army and have a voluntary culture of support. And when I was speaking to the Riverview boys about you, Alex, I was like, this guy presenting the Alex Noble Shield, what it is now for the Riverview v Joey's game. They spoke about how everyone wanted to read your book and how it's not just building empathy through reading, but it's a message, it's lessons, it's values and it's principles on how to live your life. And yeah, I've heard you talk about how to toolkit on how to live your life. So we're very lucky to be able to have you on today, an old Riverview boy, fellow Jesuit scholar and author of the very inspirational book, I Fight, You Fight. So welcome, Alex.
Welcome, Alex.
Thank you so much for having me. It's good to be here and keen to chat.
Perfect. And we're incredibly looking forward to having you in the Great Hall a little bit later today where you'll be telling your story and aspects of it. But maybe there'll be plenty of people, certainly maybe in Melbourne, maybe less in Sydney, where you certainly were headlines back in 2018. But maybe could you just tell us a little bit about the journey that you've been on, probably particularly from that moment?
Yeah, so up until I was 16, you know, I was that typical sporty kid that just loved footy. That was my whole life. I was so passionate about it. That was my, purpose in life, to, play footy and excel and try and become a professional sportsman and a professional rugby player. And so yeah, I dedicated my life to that. And up until I was 16, I was doing just that and going pretty well. And I thought that I was on the, road to achieving my dream. And unfortunately, when I was 16, I was training for the New South Wales Rugby Sevens squad and I sustained an injury and broke my neck and became a quadriplegic. And, I resulted in hospital and unable to move anything at all. I lost all movement from my neck down. And then from that moment on up until where I'm today, and now I'm 22 years old, I have, been able to, not let the injury, bring me down or define me, but I chose to respond and pivot away from, that rugby career towards excelling in other parts of my life. And so I've gone on to achieve, more than I ever thought that I possibly could. I achieved a lot more than I was planning to do in my previous life or before I was 16. So now, yeah, these days I'm, going on to uni to do business and law, and I wasn't even supposed to finish school. Started up my boat charter company, and delivering, keynotes, and just wrote a book called I Fight, You Fight. And so, yeah, now I've dedicated my life to, sharing my message, which involves all the lessons that I've learned along my way and all the values and principles and strategies that I implemented to share it with others so others can also acquire and adopt those lessons and implement them in their own life to help them. And so, yeah, that's what the book is. It's exactly what you said. It's a toolkit. It's much more than a story. It's a toolkit full of those lessons that other people now have access to. So, yeah, the way I like to see it is it's the book is literally my brain, my perspective on a piece of paper. It's exactly what it is. So now hopefully people can use that and help them in their own lives.
Fantastic.
Alex, could I take you back maybe to the title of the book? And as I think I understood it at the time, your brother was doing his HSC, our VCE, his final exams. I think he might have had one exam to go. And you uttered something to him. which is pretty inspiring. So do you want to break down the title of the book a bit for us?
Yeah, so I guess the title of the book, I Fight, You Fight, is kind of multidimensional, but it all started from that moment in the intensive care unit in hospital. It was 5 days after my injury and my spinal surgery. And pretty much, you know, I was lying in the intensive care unit bed, and at the end of my bed was my older brother, Zach, and my mum and my dad. And Zach was pretty much talking to my parents, and he was saying that he was going to give up on his HSC, his year 12 exams. He was saying it was all too hard. He was too distracted by everything that happened to me and my family in that period of our lives. He was saying it was all too hard and too much. He was going to call it quits and give up. And so, you know, I was listening into what Zach was saying to my parents, and I kind of felt like it was my fault, and I felt guilty because, you know, my brother's going to give up on his uni degree and give up on his future career because of something that happened to me. So, you know, with every single bit of strength that I had left inside of me, I managed to say my first words after those 5 long and excruciating days. And I whispered in a, you know, weak tone, Zach, if I fight, you fight. And so from that point on, you know, I chose to try my very best and recover and fight and not give up. And hopefully I tried to do that in order to inspire Zach to also not give up and to complete his HSC and not give up on his future. And, you know, that message, that I Fight, You Fight comment kind of also transcended that moment. My community, my family and friends and even people I didn't know heard about that story. And then they started to see me fight and, you know, try and progress and recover. And they got, I guess, inspired by that. And then as a result, then they started supporting me and they chose to fight too alongside me by supporting me with, you know, events and giving me food so I didn't even have to eat the hospital food and all these things. And their response too and their help and assistance and support then inspired me again. So then me and my community, we kind of became like a, you know, interdependent relationship where we both brought each other up and, you know, now we've all become stronger and more united than ever before. And so I think that when I was choosing the title of my book, that was the perfect name because it has so much meaning behind it.
Well, we're doing our very special Book Week episode of Zav Chat, and Trish and Wilbur and Jared, I want you to chime in, and if you've got questions for Alex. Alex, my main question is, where did the seed first come from in terms of writing a book? Did someone suggest it to you, or was it entirely your own thought? Tell us a little bit about, firstly, the thought of writing it, and secondly, then the process of writing it. Was it difficult, or was it pretty damned easy, just thoughts onto a piece of paper?
Yeah, well, initially, or before my accident, and then I guess the first, I guess, year or so after my accident, there's no way in the world I thought that I could ever write a book. You know, I wasn't that intelligent. I never could write good essays in English and all these things. So yeah, it wasn't even on my mind. But then I learned a lot of things and lessons throughout my experience and my injury and my recovery process. And I acted upon those and people kind of saw that and felt inspired by that. And then, so then I started engaging or trying to share my lessons and my perspective with others because I knew that it was kind of helping others. So I kind of dedicated my life to, you know, doing keynotes to schools and organizations and corporates and charity events to share my message and share my insights and what I've learned. And then people were giving me like amazing feedback, such as, you know, you helped me do this, or you helped me to find happiness when I thought there was nothing left and all these things. And that motivated me to, what I wanted to do is be able to help people as much as I possibly can. I wanted to, for those people struggling in life and unable to find happiness or that need help achieving a goal or get motivated, I wanted to be able to just like transfer my perspective to them so then they could then help them on whatever path they're on. And so, but in a conversation with someone or in a like a 10-minute keynote, it's hard to share all those lessons with someone and share my whole mindset with someone. You know, it's quite complex, the human experience. So I was always like a bit frustrated because I wanted to be able to help these people, but I couldn't do it as best I possibly could. But then my publishers, Simon & Schuster, came to me and they offered me the opportunity to write a book. And I was like, that is the perfect way I can consolidate and encapsulate all of my, you know, values and principles, strategies and lessons into one place and then just be able to give it to someone so they can have access to everything I know and all those insights. So I immediately said, yes, perfect opportunity. And that is why I wrote the book, because it's all there for someone now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the process of writing the book was, yeah, very, I guess, foreign and unique experience because it's so different to, you know, a normal English essay. because you got to write like, you know, 400 pages. So I guess the main issue I had with writing the book, or the thing I had to learn, was that because I've done so many keynotes and, you know, talks, I started writing in that form. Like I started like preaching, I guess. And, you know, I used a lot of repetition because in a keynote or when you talk, repetition is powerful. But then my publishers, when I sent off, when I did like a draft and sent it to them, they would be like, oh, it's just not a keynote. You got to remember it's a book, you know? So yeah, I just learned along the way and I learned a lot about myself too. I learned how to understand and articulate my mindset and my perspective and the things I learned. So it was an amazing process. And yeah, I learned a lot about myself and now I'm very happy and content with the result of the book. I think it kind of does encapsulate my mind very accurately.
Trish.
Alex, I know you've come to Melbourne and you said that you've been doing some book tours, and I'm wondering how your book is being received in the places that you're visiting.
Yeah, no, it's gone a lot better than I could ever have hoped for, more than I expected. Yeah, people, like the number of people that have read it, the amount of people that are commenting and emailing me and reaching out to me via my website or just messaging me saying the profound impact that it's actually had on them, like, is exactly what I wanted out of the book, you know. I didn't want people to just read my story. Like, I didn't want just sympathy or people to feel bad for me and or understand all the hardships that I had to go through. The purpose of the book was to, you know, liberate others, to help people, you know, achieve the goals that they're pursuing in life, to help people find happiness. And, you know, a lot of the comments I've received and the feedback I've received have, you know, done just that, or if not more, you know. And that is like the best thing that I could ever ask for in my life. You know, that's my purpose in life, to, you know, inspire people to be better, inspire people to, you know, find happiness, be more resilient and achieve whatever goals and help people to be the best that they can be. So yeah, I'm so grateful and honored and humbled by the comments I have received and the impact that I have made on people and this world. And hopefully, you know, the message that I share with others can then be passed on to, you know, their kids, and those kids get pass that message on to their kids. And so hopefully my message and what I've shared can live on forever. And that's my ultimate goal in life. So yeah, I'm very, very happy.
So Wilbur, not long ago, Alex was probably someone unknown to you. You've gone off to the Harbour City, you've seen the big rugby game, and now you're getting to meet Alex in person and hear his story. Have you got a question and any comment to make?
Yeah, Alex, being part of a Jesuit education with the motto, as much as you can do, so much dare to do, I was just wondering, how has that Jesuit education shaped you and how did that community help you after your accident?
Yeah, honestly, yeah, the school and the way that the culture behind it, and even just as something as simple as the motto, you know, as much as you can do, so much dare to do, like that is kind of shaped me and is also the crux of what I live for and the way I live my life and the way I think everyone should live their life. Like everyone has so much potential and the capacity to achieve the greatest things in life. But two things often stop us. One is actually believing that we can be better than we are and believing that we actually can be something so significant and substantial, and knowing that we can be more than we are. Because a lot of people just think, oh, I tried my best, and they actually think they're at their best, but really they could still do so much more, but they don't believe in themselves. So I think that's the one thing that stops a lot of people from reaching their actual full potential. And the other thing is actually being able to put in the hard work, being able to put in the effort, you know, because sometimes you put in a bit of effort, but it gets a little bit hard, and then people call it quits, people pull off, you know what I mean? So if you can actually believe that you can be something so important and great, and believe that you can be better than you are, and believe that you can, yeah, be better and become more and achieve more, as well as be willing to put in the effort and go through those hardships and really apply yourself, then that is how you'll be able to dare to reach your full potential. Because not many people do that. You know, there's 1% of people that do that. And I think that we all can do that, but if we just do those two things, that's how we'll get there.
Yeah. Well, listening to your story before, Alex, I was quite amazed and inspired by, you know, your journey of resilience, I guess, and, you know, that full 180 from how you were going, where you were being a star rugby player and, you know, looking forward to a career in that domain. But then, you know, now you're a successful writer, after saying you couldn't even... Well, your English essays weren't great, but all these changes in your life that's sort of been, I guess, thrown you in the deep end. I can't even imagine. But what do you think that says about, you know, the nature of your resilience and also human resilience and what we can achieve? Because it's an inspiring story about, you know, I guess, human nature.
Yeah, I think the one thing that it taught me and taught me about, you know, humans is like, yeah, we are capable of doing and achieving, becoming so much more than we think we can. You know, before my injury, I thought the only thing in my life was a one-way street, and that was footy. And I never believed in myself, never thought that I could be academical and go off to uni. And, you know, yeah, I never thought I was going to go to uni at all or get a job in the corporate world or be able to speak in front of others. Like, I was never a good presenter, could never, like, deliver speeches in front of anybody. Never in the world I thought I could write a book, like I said before. But it's crazy what you can do if you, like I said, believe in yourself and apply yourself. And also, you know, try new things, take risks, get outside your comfort zone and, you know, go into foreign experiences and, you know, yeah, try new things. And it's crazy. You can adapt when you put yourself in uncomfortable environments or in an environment which is beyond what you're capable of doing, because you can adapt and then you learn how to, you meet what is required, and that is how you really push yourself to be better, to achieve more things. And yeah, and also another thing I realize is that when things happen to us in life, when life storms come our way, you know, we can handle them. Like, the humans are so incredibly resilient, but sometimes the thing that stops us is, you know, our own mindsets, our own mentality, and, you know, blaming the world, playing the victim card and saying life's unfair and then getting down on ourselves. But, you know, we can handle a lot. We can bear a lot on our shoulders if you're willing to, you know, not give up. And the ability to not give up can liberate you and enable you to become great, even though hardships may come your way.
Bill, do you want to thank our extraordinary special guest?
I certainly do, Alex. I've just got to say, I can't wait to have you in the Great Hall today speaking to our boys. It's very, very special. As you were talking there, I couldn't help thinking of Ignatius and the cannonball moment that came his way and an adaption. And here you are in his footsteps 500 years later on your own inner journey. And it's quite incredible. I can't wait to read the book. I can't wait to welcome you in with Trish and Wilbur and Jared and Shane today into our school community and your brother's school. And it's really lovely hearing those touch points. Allow me to maybe just share one thing back your way, or maybe two. You've taken me back because a quarter of a century ago, before you were born, I coached your rugby team. So to explain that one, in 1999, I was lucky enough to start my teaching career at Riverview. I had seven incredible years there. Lucky enough, I coached the first rugby team for a few years. And in my last 2 years, I coached the 16As. And that was your rugby team. I've got incredibly special memories from that. I coached it with a great young man. He actually himself had a neck injury after school. He was right on the cusp of the 21 side. He actually came to my wedding. We had a great friendship and partnership. Mark Chapman is a great fella. And so we coached the 16As together. And I've got to say, one of the most cherished things that I had in my time, we often use music as a way of inspiring, you know, boys or setting a mood or a tone before going out. It's one of the things we did in the first, and Chappie and I kept it going. And in 2000, my last 16A side, they gave me a little CD at the end of a season called We Will Remain. And this is a bit of a rugby story, maybe back for you, but if in 1999, the Wallabies won the World Cup. And there's a great story told, and I guess this is, I'm linking it back, and Trish, I'm going to come your way with a final question. The power of stories. Rod McQueen had, in the spring tour, taken the Wallabies to Villers Bretonneux and to the cemeteries, and they visited there. Well, before they went out for the Rugby World Cup final, Rod McQueen wrote an extract of an order given to a young captain, which went along the lines of, "Our orders are to hold this ground. If the section cannot remain alive, it will remain dead, but in any case, it will remain." And so the Wallabies ran out with this, and Alex, I'm listening into your story, and whatever's come your way, you know, not only are you remaining, you're just being positively inspiring with the lessons that are coming from you, and that your wisdoms are positively exceptional for a young fellow as you're going through life. So anyway, I've got a beautiful memory back to the 16A's rugby team that was your team. And as I said, I can't wait to see you today and welcome you in. But maybe, Trish, I'm going to throw back to you. You know, story, it's inspiring. Literature and the power of the narrative, it can be really inspiring. And I see that bubbling through in your program and how you're guiding the school. But maybe just that sort of sense of the inspiration of the spoken and written word?
Yeah, for me, it's I feel really passionate about the power of the conversation and us sitting here today and talking to Alex about his book, and that's what I want to see down the line with literature. It's the power of what you get from it and then the conversations you have. And I know, Alex, we have a Xavier College book club here that's been running for 25 years, and we had your book. So there were 12 of us that read your story all at the same time, and last Thursday we unpacked it and talked about it. And, you know, it's that. It's the conversation, and some of those people are coming today to listen to you. So that would be, you know, my message for all our students here and parents to, you know, just start reading and have those conversations, and it's just so rewarding. So I'm so grateful you've been here this morning, Alex. Thank you.
We're very lucky to have you too, Trish, and I'll come back in just a couple of seconds. But Alex, do you want to respond to that? And then we're going to finish off today's Zav Chat.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I 100% agree with the, you know, power of literature and reading. Like, I never used to read, to be honest. I, you know, hated reading. Mum always told me, you know, have time in your room and go and read. I'd be like, no, it's my worst. I hated reading. But what I've really understood now is, yeah, it's not just reading, it's learning and gaining insights from other people that have been through different experiences. And then you can, you know, you don't even have to have a conversation with them. You're pretty much having a conversation through them, through the book, and you're getting the best parts of their learnings from life and adopting it and applying it to your own life. And I think that can really inspire you to and help you on whatever path you're on. And yeah, I think that it is an incredibly powerful thing and can help you so much if you are willing to take on board advice and actually read.
Thanks for being part of Zav Chat today. You spoke beautifully, and we're looking all very much forward, as Bill said, to meeting you. We are out of time. Jared, it's a brief around the grounds today. Over to you.
Certainly, Hills. So big week at the college this week, both for the junior and senior campus. And of course, as we mentioned before, 3-year 11 students were at Riverview over the weekend. So hopefully we'll be able to take a leaf out of their book in some ways and make things around here bigger and better. But of course, this week being National Book Week, the Prep to Six, as we mentioned, dressed up and had a fashion parade in their favourite book characters' outfit. And I think you can check that out on the socials as well.
Yeah, there were some great shots on the social.
That's right. And here at the senior campus, to celebrate Book Week, we've been having multiple author visits as well as our literary dinner tomorrow night. So if you haven't booked into that, get in now. And today, Wednesday, we've got a big assembly full of fun and also great lessons with Alex. And he'll show us that if he could fight, anyone could fight, as well as a big plug for the Athletics Day tomorrow. And yep, that's right. So Thursday tomorrow, we'll have our inaugural Prep to 12 Athletics Day, so a big one coming up.
And Trish, as we finish, just a quick plug for Your Voice Take Flight.
Yes, we have Your Voice Take Flight, which is in its fourth year, and it's a collaboration with Loretto, and the live performance is next Monday night in the EPAC. We have 38 Xavier students and 66 Loretto students, and we're very excited to launch the book and to listen to their presentation.
One of my favourite nights of the year, Trish.
So. Oh, fantastic. Michael Trappett does a brilliant job weaving all this together. We've spoken to Alex today through Zoom on a live stream. He's visiting Melbourne, and he'll be actually physically here at the college a little later in the day. So again, thank you, Alex. Thank you, Jared. Wilbur, special guest. Trish, special guest. Bill.
Another great episode, Hills. How good was that one?
So, that was a beauty. Fantastic. And we'll see you for another Zav Chat 7 days hence.